Hey, y'all, let's take a look today at Matthew chapter 15 and the feeding of the 4,000. This is in verse 29. And Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered. When they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a great crowd? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7, and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. So, again, this scene takes place after Jesus has gone to Gentile territory, to the area of Tyre and Sidon. He has encountered a Canaanite woman that pled that he heal her daughter. And, of course, Jesus made the point that, well, I came for the Jews first and foremost, and I can't, I really didn't come first and foremost for the Gentiles. And of course, the woman prevails upon Jesus by saying, hey, listen, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And now Jesus returns to the area of Galilee, and he's walking along the sea. And we have this scene that's almost a direct repetition of the scene of the healing of the 5,000 prior to this. a few thoughts. One, Jesus, it says, goes up on the mountain and sits down. This is the only the second time Jesus has sat down on a mountain. It's actually the only two times occur when Jesus goes on the Mount of on the Mount to teach the Sermon on the Mount, and this scene. So whenever Jesus sits down, it's a royal move. It's a teacher's move. Jesus is sitting down to authoritatively reign and preside over the kingdom of God. In Matthew 5, when this happened, it says that the disciples came to Jesus and he taught them. Here, it says that the crowds came and Jesus healed them. It doesn't say he taught them in this case. So these crowds come to them and he heals them. And it highlights 4 physical infirmities that Jesus heals, and it repeats them twice. So there's a real emphasis on the restoration of sight and the ability to walk and hearing. There's these sort of restorations of the whole person that this scene emphasizes. And then after this is all over, he addresses their physical needs. I think it's always interesting with Jesus. He's interested in the whole person. He's certainly interested in what we have come to call their soul or saving them, but he's interested in feeding their bodies too. It's a whole thing, the whole person that Jesus is interested in. And several things, again, repeat from the feeding of the 5,000. He draws attention to the need of the people there. He involves his disciples. He's clearly doing this to teach them and to help them understand how to do their ministry moving forward after he's gone. Again, they balk. They are like, where are we going to get that? And one wonders why they're balking. Are they so obtuse that they don't remember? Is there something about this crowd that bothers them? At any rate, they balk. So why the repetition? Why is a similar story told almost, or told twice, and it's almost identical? I'm certain that at one level we could say, well, it underlines the obtuseness of the disciples. And it's wonderful that in the founding documents of the Christian faith, the leaders are put in such a bad, or we might say honest, light. It's really encouraging to note that our leaders have flaws and that that's okay. It encourages us, I think, to be honest and transparent and own our mistakes as well. But I'm persuaded that there's a little bit more going on in this second healing that suggests maybe a slightly different emphasis from the first. Here are some clues that I think paint a picture. First, Jesus has just left Canaanite territory, or the Gentile territory, where he exorcised the daughter of this Gentile woman, where he opened himself up to, okay, I'm going to give crumbs to the dogs here because they need them too. The numbers are interesting. Remember, in the feeding of the 5,000, there's 12 baskets left over. This has sort of universally been recognized across the ages as a representation that Jesus is building a new Israel because of that number 12. There's 4,000, and four infirmities are mentioned. And so it suggests that four is kind of thematic there. And typically in the scriptures, four represents the four corners of the compass, as it were, the four corners of the world. In other words, God's interested in all nations. And of course, God told Abraham he was going to bless all nations. So perhaps there's that connection with the ultimate mission to bless all peoples. And then there's seven baskets left over. So again, if the 12 was significant, probably the seven is significant. And I'm persuaded that perhaps this represents the seven nations of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses says that there's seven nations that inhabit the land. And so perhaps this is the beginning of this mission to the Gentiles, or at least mission to the next layer of those who are outside of Israel. One last little clue. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14, a similar constellation of infirmities comes up when Jesus says, hey, listen, when you invite people over, don't invite people who can pay you back, but invite the lame, the crippled, the blind. And then he goes on to give the parable of the wedding feast, in which there's a man, he has a wedding feast for his son, and he has this invitation list, and none of them come. They all excuse themselves. And so the master says, okay, fine, go find the lame, the crippled. In other words, people who can't pay you back and people who weren't the initial invitees. Again, I think this suggests a move to the Gentiles. So I'm pretty convinced that in addition to whatever that first feeding taught us, that Jesus is the bread of heaven, that he is concerned about the whole person. He wants to feed us, that we live on his word, but he also wants to feed us physical bread, that it's probably a nod to and an anticipation of the Lord's Supper. In addition to all that, I think it underlines that the mission of the gospel will ultimately start with Israel, but then go to all nations. And I think here we have the beginnings of that. And Jesus' desire to feed himself to all nations. So may we admit our obtuseness like the disciples, but may we constantly look to Jesus and give him whatever resources we have to see what he will do with them to feed the people of God and to feed the nations. Amen.